Hello, everybody. This is Calvin with Electronic Editions, home of Electronic News Network. We are here again today, live people, doing another tech update session, guys. This is March the 16th. It is almost 8:30 a.m., and we are going to be taking news off of our LinkedIn page as usual. If you guys haven't already, please, guys, go ahead, click the like and subscribe button below. Really helps our channel out, circulate throughout YouTube so people can see the latest tech updates, tech news, tech product rollouts, and get all that, wonderful, wonderful information, guys. If you guys haven't already viewed our official website, please visit us at electronicadditions.net. That's electronicadditions.net. And for you guys that love us on podcasts, you guys want to see us on, listen to more of us on podcasts as well. Maybe you guys, are going for your morning run, or you guys, are doing something or multitasking. Visit us. You can visit us on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts as well at Electronic News Network. All right. But without further ado, guys, let's get started for today. Okay. So, first and foremost, it looks like Elon Musk, guys, produced a techno track about NFTs he's selling as an NFT, guys. So for you guys that don't know, we talked about this in our previous episodes too. An NFT, guys, is a non-fungible token. It's pretty much a digital art form that has value, that's on the blockchain, okay? So this is creating kind of this is kind of a new thing that's coming up. It's creating a little bit controversy in the sort of tech and artistry world, more in the artistry world, because it's a digital type of art, so it's not physical, but it still holds value, right? So it looks like Elon Musk is getting in on the NFT gold rush by selling a new electronic music track he's apparently produced as an NFT, guys. So yes, you've heard that right? So it's a song about non-fungible tokens. Of course, Elon Musk would do this. So which Musk appears to have minted or plans to mint on the blockchain. Musk did not include the link to the NFT, but so it's not that clear, right? If it's already live or if Musk plans to initiate the sale later date, it's also not clear on which platform Musk intends to sell the NFT, but he is in on the gold rush of NFTs and is in developing this one. So for you guys that are real fans of Elon Musk, Elon Musk, guys, the owner of Tesla and SpaceX, doing very great things, and continuously will do great things, guys. So, he is always dabbling in something that is, really pretty exotic and really interesting. So, for you guys that don't know NFTs, go ahead. If you want to learn more about this and what Elon Musk is doing with this NFT, you can go ahead, follow us on LinkedIn, click into the article. You guys can learn more about it there too. Moreover, guys, it looks like Bird, so the electric scooter company Bird, will double its size in Europe with massive $150 million spend, guys. So it looks like Bird says it will spend $150 million on a major expansion in Europe, right? So the Santa Monica-based scooter sharing company announced after that it will bring its battery-powered two-wheelers to 50 new cities on the continent in the next coming months. In addition to growing its fleet in its current markets, the move comes as scooter sharing combines to perform strongly in Europe amid the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic. To help oversee the new initiative, Bird is promoting two employees to its executive team. Renaud Fagus is named head of global operations, and Brandon O'Driscoll will be head of product growth and data, overseeing both Bird's global product strategy and its implementation, guys. So this is going to be very interesting, very cool. For you guys that are in Europe, guys, it's going to be a great expansion. Maybe you guys, there's not really a lot of Bird, outlets out there for electric scooters. So, this expansion is definitely going to be a come up in a way, so you guys can have more access to electric scooters. and probably a number of its other products as well too, guys. Obviously, we know that bird is obviously also in the US too. If you guys want to learn more information about this too, guys, please follow us on LinkedIn, guys. Click into the article. You guys can learn more about it there too. So that's very, very interesting. We also, guys, new. So we also have news on the Nintendo Switch Lite. So it looks like for right now, you can get the Nintendo Switch Lite with a $20 gift card for a limited time. So not everyone takes advantage of the Switch aspect of Nintendo Switch. And for them, the smaller, easier to carry Switch Lite is worthwhile alternative, right? So a few retailers are now tossing in a free $20 gift card when you purchase Nintendo more compact handheld, right? So it looks like the Nintendo Switch Lite. So it looks like you can get the $20 gift card from a few retailers, right? So it looks like Amazon, Best Buy, and GameStop are all offering the deal, and all Switch Lite colors are eligible. So regardless of whether you prefer gray, yellow, blue, or coral, you'll end up with an extra $20 to spend at the retailer you're buying from, right? So pretty cool, guys, right? So you buy the Switch Lite, you can use the $20, you could probably buy an extra game with the Switch, or you can use the free $20 gift card to buy another type of product. But this is pretty cool, guys. Obviously, we know that the Switch is a very cool product, so you can get them at these retailers, Amazon, Best Buy, and GameStop. You can also get the Nintendo Switch also on our store as well too, electronicedition.net. We do sell Nintendo Switches as well as other types of bundles too, guys. Very great prices, especially at our membership prices. You can go ahead, check it out. It's electronicedition.net. If you guys want to learn more about this too, guys, you can go ahead, follow us on LinkedIn, click into the article. You guys can learn more about it there too. Moreover, guys, we also have moreover news on privacy too, guys, right? So it looks like companies can silently reroute your text to hackers, right? So sometimes for just $16, guys, this is why this is why we come out with these episodes, for you guys and let you guys know about the security and cybersecurity and privacy updates too, because information, there's lots of information out there, and companies are able to pay for data, not obviously, mostly not to do anything bad with them, but mostly just to market to you guys, those to market to other customers, right? So they'll probably pay for data to market to customers, right? Sometimes you might receive an email from a company you've never even done business with. Maybe you like speakers, but you see this new speaker company start sending you emails, and they could be a legitimate company, but they probably got your information from another third party, right? So you just want to watch out for that. And obviously look to see, even if you're getting those types of emails, check to see if those companies are actually legitimate. Go on their official website without clicking the link and stuff like that. Do your research before moving forward. But it looks like there's a new newly discovered attack on SMS messaging that's almost invisible to victims and seemingly sanctioned by the telecom industry, uncovered in a report by Motherboard, right? So the attack uses text messaging management services that are aimed at businesses to silently redirect text messages from a victim to hackers, giving them access to any two-factor codes or login links that are sent via text message, right? So this is very, very just ridiculous, right? Sometimes the companies providing the services don't send any sort of message to the number that's being redirected, either to ask permission or even to notify the owner that their texts are now going to someone else. Using these services, attackers are not only able to intercept incoming text messages, but they can also reply as well, guys. So definitely, definitely just be careful. Again, guys, any weird text messages that you get from any other company, doesn't matter, even if it's from a legitimate company sending you a link to one of their products, I would just ignore it, guys. Or you can even reply. Sometimes you can even reply to those types of messages. You can just reply in all caps, stop, because sometimes you may have subscribed to something that you didn't even know online. So if you just reply stop, sometimes they'll just come up with, they'll reply with that message, oh, you've been we've deleted you from the subscription list, right? So, maybe you have subscribed somewhere online you didn't know, or you entered your email you didn't know, right? So you always just want to be careful, be cognizant. Don't click on any links like in your text messages or email. Just be very, very, just weary, right? So just be very careful, and just watch out, guys. All right. So if you guys want to learn more about this too, guys, more about this on how you can kind of prevent stuff like this, you can go ahead, click into this article, and you can definitely learn more about this there too. All right, so let's see, let's go more in depth with this, right? So it looks like also Joseph Cox, right? So the motherboard reporter had someone successfully carry out the attack on his number, and it only cost the attacker $16, right? So when he contacted other companies providing SMS redirection services, some of them reported that they had seen this sort of attack before. So the specific company that Motherboard used has reportedly fixed the exploit, right? But there are many others like it, and there doesn't seem to be anyone holding the companies to account. When asked why this type of attack is even possible, AT&T and Verizon simply directed The Verge to contact the CTIA, the trade organization for wireless industry. The CTIA wasn't immediately available for comment, but it told Motherboard that it had no indication of any malicious activity involving the potential threat or that any customers were impacted, right? So hackers have found many ways to exploit the SMS and the cellular systems to get at other people's texts. Methods like SIM swapping and SS7 attacks have been seen in the wild for a few years now, and have sometimes even been used against high-profile targets, right? But with SIM swapping, it's pretty easy to tell whether you're being attacked. Your phone will completely disconnect from the cellular network, right? But with SIM redirection, it could be quite a while before you notice that someone else is getting your messages. More than enough time for attackers to compromise your accounts, guys. So you definitely want to be a, definitely be aware of that, right? Just be aware, right? So the main concern with SMS attacks are the implications that they could have the security of your other accounts, right? So if an attacker is able to get a password reset link or code sent to your phone number, they would have access to it and be able to get into your account. Text messages are also sometimes used to send login links, as the motherboard found with Postmates, WhatsApp, and Bumble, right? So definitely be careful, guys, right? So it's best also too, guys, to combat this as well too. Also to have two-factor authentication as well enabled in your phone as well too, so you're able to this would also help combat that, because if they're just able to send a link, right, to reset your password to your text message, and they already have access to that, guys, that's super easy, right? But if you have a two-step off, factor authentication, it's harder for them to get into that, right? They need that code, and they're not going to have access to that code, right? So moreover, this also serves as a reminder that SMS should be avoided for anything security related. If possible, for two-factor authentication, it's better to use an app like Google Authenticator or Authy, right? So Authy. So some password managers even have support for 2FA built in, like 1Password or many of the other free managers we recommend. That said, there are still services and companies that only use text messages as a second factor, right? So the banking industry is infamous for it, right? So for those services, you'll want to make sure that your password is secure and unique, right? So definitely make sure, of course, always your passwords are secure and unique. And just creating multiple passwords, if you have multiple accounts, right, which we're all in the digital realm, so we all have multiple accounts, everywhere, right? You might have a Google account, a Yahoo account, you may have a DoorDash account, you may have a Netflix account, you have a PlayStation account, you have a Apple account, you have an iCloud account, you have a Microsoft account, you have all these types of accounts. You want to make sure that your passwords are different, you're keeping them safely stored, and also try to use two-factor authentication always when possible, guys, right? So it definitely helps mitigate that risk, right? So that being said, there are still services and companies that only use text messages as a second factor. The banking industry is infamous for it. So for those services, you want to make sure that your password is secure and unique, and then push both for them to move away from SMS, and for cellular industry to work on making itself more secure, right? So definitely the thing that I can say here too, guys, is yes, you know, just try to be careful, right, of the SMS messaging, right? Text messages, we're all prone to having text messages, right? Even personally, myself too, sometimes I receive text messages that are, you know, for example, that are, you know, that are, you know, that come into my phone. I have no idea who sent them, right? Sometimes it'd be a group text, right? Sometimes there's other numbers attached to it sending us a link. Hey, get this free stuff. Like, what is this? You see other numbers saying stop. What the heck is going on, right? And being careful where you're putting your phone numbers, right? Try to, you know, use services that help clean up your phone number. Or even, for example, you may even want to sometimes, you know, consider even changing your phone number every year or so, or every couple of years, just so, you know, you don't have, you know, and just to be making sure where you use your phone number online when you're signing up for services and stuff like that. And, you know, another thing too that I wanted to let you guys know too, I know sometimes we may be falling on hard times, so we may want some finances. Sometimes for even loans, guys, if you're going to apply for loans, say if you're a business owner, or if you're running a business, or if you need even a personal loan, you're applying for personal loans online too. This, you know, if you keep putting your number out there in some of these systems where, you know, they're sending your data to third parties to then send it to the lenders, to then send it to this person, to then send it to that company, you know, your numbers being cycled and turned multiple times, and you don't even know, you know, where that went. And, you know, you can have other scam loaners sending you text messages, sending you information, sending all this to you using your phone number and only your email. And you would think that they're real, but once you click on the link, you find out it's not. And trust me, guys, you do not want to get into any of that stuff, guys. You know, if you're trying to get something actually legitimate, for example, like a loan or anything like that, I would definitely try to go with an authorized bank, or, you know, try to go through government programs. There's also government grants that are out there as well too, just as a side note. And you know, just try to, again, people are falling on hard times as times, and I get that, but try to budget your finances and try to go to legitimate places, even if it's online too. Try not to use your phone number. If you can use like even a dummy, create a separate email, create a dummy email. Say if you're applying for loans for email, with email, create a separate dummy email, maybe even create a separate dummy phone number where you can use and do that stuff, right? But with your personal, with stuff that's really important, try to gear and stay away from that too. So that's always a good thing to do, guys. All right, so that is that right there. Moreover, guys, it looks like there's kind of a new feature on Zoom that's very interesting, kind of a little counterintuitive, but pretty funny, pretty interesting, guys. So it looks like Zoom Escaper lets you sabotage your own meetings with audio problems, crying babies, and more, right? So had enough Zoom meetings, so can't bear another soul numbing day of sitting on video calls. The only distraction, your rapidly aging face pinned on one corner of the screen like a dying bug. Well, if so, then boy, do we have the app for you. Meet Zoom Escaper, a free web widget that lets you add an array of fake audio effects to your next Zoom call, gifting you with numerous reasons to end the meeting and escape while you still can, right? So this is very, very funny. Imagine if you're maybe in an interview that you don't even want to be in. This may help you out, right? So this is very funny in my opinion. Say if you're in a meeting, if you're in a, you're in a business meeting, or you're in a meeting for your job that you don't really like, you don't want to be there, this app lets you it's able to get you out of that, right? So whoever came up with this, attached it to Zoom, this is just funny. In my opinion, this is hilarious. This is going to give you that extra excuse, or people can say, oh shoot, you have a bad connection, all right, well let's do this later on or the next week. Or if you're crying, you have a man weeping, you also have your dogs, you have I guess urination, you have construction, you have wind, you have an upset baby. So you can pretend that you have a baby crying in the background. You also have echoes, different types of things that can sabotage your own meetings with audio problems, which is very, very funny, guys. So if you want to go ahead and find out more about this, guys, please, guys, go ahead, follow us on LinkedIn, click into the article. You guys can learn more about it there too. Moreover, guys, this is a very interesting piece of news, guys. It looks like India will reportedly introduce a bill to make owning cryptocurrency illegal, right? So I know that we talked about this in our previous episodes. So if you're looking at in our, first probably 10 to 15 episodes, I know we talked about this too, guys. We talked about how India is looking to ban cryptocurrencies altogether, and we talked about that, how kind of crazy that is. Like, why would you want to ban cryptocurrencies, right? But there's different, in my opinion, in my philosophical opinion, I believe India is doing this for a reason. India is not a dumb country. They are not a dumb nation. They are very intuitive, they are very smart, and they do things for a reason. But are they able to they say that they're in final talks of actually implementing this bill, but there's no real timeline to when they're actually going to implement it, right? They're just saying they're in the final stages of this talk to actually introduce the bill to implement it, but there's no real stages, right? There's no real set timeline when they're going to implement it, right? So India is reportedly moving forward with a sweeping ban on cryptocurrencies, right? So according to Reuters, the country's legislator and int will introduce a bill that criminalizes trading, mining, issuing, transferring, and possessing cryptocurrency. So the bill is likely to pass if it's introduced, giving India some of the world's strictest digital currency laws. So under the plan, people who own these digital assets would have 6 months to liquidate their holdings, right? So again, guys, note that this plan hasn't come into effect yet. They're just talking about how, if it did come into effect, this would be the rules. So as soon as this plan does come into effect, you have 6 months to liquidate all of your cryptocurrency assets, which I think is kind of ridiculous, but they're doing this for a reason. Honestly, I'd like to understand why. I'll talk about this a little bit more in a minute, what personally I think, right? So Reuters source, a government official, didn't specify the punishment for breaking the rules after that, but a 2019 government panel recommended a jail sentence of up to 10 years for cryptocurrency related offenses, right? So up to 10 years, right? So this is from a 2019 government panel, right? So this was, they talked about this. They've been talking about this, but they still haven't really implemented anything yet, because they know it's a really hard thing to do, to just ban cryptocurrencies. Come on, guys, for real? Like, come on. So it looks like recommended a jail sentence of up to 10 years for cryptocurrency related offenses. So if you're still caught with this cryptocurrencies, you can get up to 10 years. You know, that's a lot of time just for holding cryptocurrency that seems very harmless, right? What did cryptocurrency do to you, right? That's what I'm trying to understand. So it looks like the official says the discussions are in their final stages, although there's no strict timeline for introducing the bill, right? So they said the official says they're in the quote unquote final stages, although there's no strict timeline for introducing the bill, right? So there's still no timeline for introducing the bill. They're just in the talks about this, right? So why, my question is, you know, that I'll answer is like, okay, the main question is, why is India trying to get rid of cryptocurrencies, right? The reason why I believe a country would be trying to get rid of a currency, especially a digital currency, is trying to preserve their own currency, right? They're realizing cryptocurrencies are outpacing, right? And they're outvaluing. They devalue their own currency, right? So, you know, it's going to take hundreds and hundreds of thousands and millions of rupees probably to, you know, that really are able to get that cryptocurrency, right? They realize cryptocurrency is a real, it's a heavy asset, digital asset, right? So, you know, the reason why I believe is probably to preserve their own type of currency. So they see probably many people in India maybe buying cryptocurrency such as Bitcoin, Litecoin, other types of cryptos and stuff like that, and that are actually gaining money from these cryptocurrencies, right? And making a profit. So it's like maybe the government officials want to preserve their own currency to make it more valuable. So you know, India's economy maybe could be a step ahead if their currency or if their currency is valued more. They'll have outsiders maybe paying more and stuff like that. So the fact that maybe outsiders can come in with cryptocurrencies to India would definitely devalue their currency. Plus, they have the people that are inside India that actually like the idea of cryptocurrencies also devaluing their currency as well. So maybe, you know, the bureaucrats and the government officials of India want to preserve their currency in that way to try to ban all cryptocurrencies, right? And I just don't know if that's going to be possible. I think India should find a way around this. They can work around this. The government doesn't have to just ban cryptocurrencies. They can kind of unite and form and unite with the blockchain industry to kind of maybe even create their own sort of token, Indian token for, you know, Indian country token that they can, peg it against the rupee so it actually is gaining more value, kind of like the US did, the US is doing with Ripple and the USDT and stuff like that, right? So that's kind of my opinion. Again, guys, if you feel like, you know, it's similar to that, or if you have a different point of view, please, I'd love to hear it. Leave a comment below. Would love to discuss and debate about this even further, guys. Very, very interesting news. All right. So moreover, guys, we also have games. So it looks like Fortnite season 6 adds animals, crafting, Lana Croft, and Neymar, right? So a new season of Fortnite is upon us, right? And the latest digs even deeper into the Battle Royale's reality spanning narratives, right? So today, Epic Games officially launched season 6 of the game's second chapter, which is dubbed Primal, right? So it takes place directly after the Zero Crisis finale that concluded season 5 and introduces new prehistoric biome to the island, right? So when players start playing the season for the first time, they'll be greeted with a quick cinematic, which you can watch below, following a short yet intense single player adventure where you help Agent Jonesy attempt to save reality, right? So, very interesting. New season 6 of Fortnite. For you Fortnite fans out there, this is going to be very exciting. And, you know, you guys are going to be playing all day and all night. So this is definitely a big jump up and a big come up for you guys, right? If you guys want to learn more about this too, you can go ahead, follow us on LinkedIn, click into the article. You guys can learn more about it there too. Moreover, guys, news on cameras, guys. So it looks like the Fujifilm GFX 100S could be getting an even more affordable sibling, right? So the Fujifilm GFX 100S won't be the only GFX medium format camera that Fuji releases this year, according to the latest rumors, with an even more affordable sibling apparently in the works, right? So the GFX series, which has been around since 2017, is Fujifilm's range of cameras with medium format sensors. These are even larger than the full frame chips seen in the likes of Sony A1 and other unrivaled dynamic range and low light performance for professionals, right? So this is very, very, very interesting, right? So, for you camera fans out there, this definitely is a come up. If you want to learn more about this, you want to see more pictures, more photos, kind of get more the scoop and insight about this too. About this, about how it could be getting its predecessor, getting this next type of camera. You can go ahead, follow us on LinkedIn, click into the article, and you can definitely learn more about it there too. Moreover, guys, news on smartwatches, right? So we have a new Amazfit, Amazon. So it's literally kind of spelled like Amazon, except it's called Amazfit. So imagine you have the Amazon with no O-N at the end, just Amaz and then Fit. So it's like a kind of Fitbit, like Amazon Fitbit. So Amazfit, and it's literally spelled Amazfit. FIT, right? So Amazfit challenges Apple with potentially life-saving smartwatch tech, guys. I love to see when another company challenges a big whale like Apple or Google or Microsoft. Some, a smaller startup probably company or a smaller company is challenging them with better technology. This is something I always like to see. A little bit competition in the tech world, very always interesting to see, guys. So it looks like Amazfit is working on a new generation of smartwatches with more advanced health tracking sensors, according to new interview with Wearable, and might even steal a lead on Apple when it comes to blood pressure monitoring, guys. And if we take a step back too, guys, if you go ahead and watch our previous episodes, probably I think in the episodes, I think like 31 or 31 to 35, we do talk about smartwatches, coming up with and having, new blood pressure applications, right? New blood pressure features. So, they're able to, track your blood pressure whenever you're wearing the smartwatch, whenever you're wearing whatever, the smartwatch you're wearing to track your blood pressure. And I think it was either Samsung Galaxy that was doing this, or I think it was Apple, one of the two, right? So definitely a high major smartwatch company, right? So not a smartwatch company, but obviously a big tech company. I think Apple or Samsung was working on this where it can monitor your blood pressure. And this is a very, very, I think it's a pretty big deal, right? So if you have somebody with maybe high blood pressure or diabetes or high, has high, that has high, sugar intake or salt intake or whatever, they want to monitor their blood pressure. Maybe they need something where they're walking. They can't really do it on their phone. They don't want to keep pricking their finger. They don't want to keep doing some weird things to, or having kind of a big machine to monitor their heart pressure or holding something. They just want something simple, right? So this easy smartwatch called Amazfit would be able to do that. So Amazfit, owned by Zepp Health, right, has made its name for cheap fitness trackers that delivers impressive features for relatively little cash, which is always really good, right? Affordable is always really good. So these include the GTS and GTR series, plus the Tough T-Rex line, which is soon to be expanded with new T-Rex Pro, guys. So this is very, very interesting, guys. So as you can see, the photos here, these kind of look like Apple Watches too, but But as you can see, they look different, right? They look a little bit different. You can definitely see, guys, if we go ahead and click into the article, let's see if there's a couple more pictures that we can see of the smartwatch, or if you see if there's a video here. Okay, so it looks like you're able to get the Amazfit GTS2 smartwatch at Best Buy and also Amazon for $140. You're able to get the Amazfit GTS2 Mini on Amazon for $100 as well. And there's no extra photos or videos here, but if you want, you guys also can go on YouTube and check out more photos and videos as well too, guys, right? So moreover, so now, however, it looks like the company has higher-end rivals in its sight and may be developing a premium watch that can track much more than steps, sleep, heart rate, and workouts, right? So they said, so, you know, quoting them, so they're saying, "We are currently engaging with the US FDA on areas such as ECG and blood pressure monitoring. Those things are ongoing right now," Mike Jung, COO of Zepp Health, told Wearable, right? "So while we are getting our own algorithm to the FDA certified, we are already in partnership with AliveCor, AliveCor here in the United States," right? So, you know, that's very, very amazing, guys. So if you want to learn more about this too, you kind of want to know more works about, you know, work more works on this, kind of when it's going to be debuting here, you can definitely go ahead, you know, follow us on LinkedIn, click into the article, and definitely learn more, guys. So moreover, guys, just before we wrap this piece of news up, guys. So it looks like Apple appears to be developing its own blood pressure sensor, but it's been a work in progress for several years now, right? And there's so far been no sign of it being implemented. The tech might feature in the Apple Watch 7, right? So we know that there's an Apple Watch 4, 5, 6, so it could feature in the 7, which we're expecting to debut in December. But Amazfit keeps a much more rapid release schedule, so we may well see a super affordable blood pressure monitoring Amazfit watch first. So we'll definitely keep you updated as soon as we know more too, guys. All right, so if you guys want to learn more about this too, go ahead, follow us on LinkedIn, click into the article. You guys can learn more about it there too. Moreover, guys, we have news on Windows 10 laptops could use some of its best smartphone tech to beat Apple's M1 MacBooks, right? So it looks like it's fair to say that Windows 10 on ARM laptops have struggled to make any kind of impact since their launch, right? But that could all change with rumors emerging that upcoming laptops could come with a new chip by Qualcomm, you know, bringing the kind of power and performance we've started to see in some of the best smartphones in the world, right? So Windows 10 on ARM laptops use hardware similar to those found in smartphones. Very interesting, right? So particularly ARM-based processors, which are supposed to offer some of the best mobile phone features, including fast boot times, long battery lives, and always-on cellular internet connections, but previous devices have failed to impress due to high price tags and disappointing for performance, right? So that's definitely very interesting, right? So that's, you know, that's definitely, you know, a competitive edge that Windows 10 laptops, you know, they could be using this type of processor, this type of software and processor, you know, on their laptops where, you know, they could use, you know, they could use some of the best smartphones text to beat the Apple M1's MacBooks. And we know the Apple M1 MacBooks are the most recently updated MacBooks that are out right now, and they are just amazing and fast and just sexy, right? So it looks like Windows 10, of course, is going to come with a competitive edge using the ARM processors. So we'll see how that definitely plays out over time, right? So if you guys want to learn more about that too, please, guys, go ahead, follow us on LinkedIn, click into the article. You guys can learn more about it there too, guys. All right. All right, guys. And sorry. So it looks like we're going to It looks like we're going to wrap the day up right now. We're going to wrap this news up for right now. If you guys want to learn more, more news, more tech updates, more tech, product rollouts, software updates, as well as tech deals as well too, guys, you can go ahead, follow us, on LinkedIn and our other social media channels. You can click on the link in this, click on the links in the description below. All right, we're on Instagram at Official Electronic Editions, all one word. We're also on Facebook at The Real EAD as well too, guys. You can go ahead, please visit our official website to get updated on our recent blogs that we update daily. And so we get, new blogs that come in daily. We write new articles, daily, weekly. And so you guys want to definitely check those out. Check out the other deals that are rolling out too, guys, on our official website, electronicadditions.net. And we'll definitely see you guys soon in the next one. All right. But without further ado, please, guys, stay clean, stay healthy, stay motivated, stay secure, and stay away from those phishing emails, phishing text messages. Just be very cognizant, okay? And pay attention. All right. So we're in the digital realm here, guys, and it's here to stay. We're moving forward, guys. So we hopefully you guys are having a great day, and we'll see you.